Hey, you want that to go?
Now a little news takeout order for you. We're going to start with Louise Story, business and finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times. And Louise, we're expecting some unemployment numbers to come out this week, and they could be good, right?
So there's surveys of economists that happen every month about what they're expecting. And some economists are expecting that employers actually added jobs last month in December. So others are expecting that they, you know, jobs only fell by maybe 1,000. So they were essentially flat. But this looks like it will be the best month in at least 2 years since the recession started. And just to give you some figures here so you can realize how much damage has been done, since December of 2007, we've had 7.2 million jobs eliminated. And that compares to, in 2005, 2.5 million were created. That was the peak of the housing boom. So this damage has undone so many years when jobs were created, and this is why you have such unrest. I think of this figure, which will come out on Friday, the unemployment figures.
That's the Labor Department figure, right?
The Labor Department figures will come out on Friday, and I kind of think of it as your magic eight ball for this year. Because if you want to know how the economy is going to do, and even how the midterm elections are going to go in November, it's this figure. It's the unemployment. This month, next month, watch it. It's the magic eight ball.
So you think, I mean, obviously, unemployment was a huge story of 2009. Is unemployment going to be the story of 2010 also?
It's going to be a very important story. And the question is, are we going to see it improve? You had some economists yesterday who were speaking alongside the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke. You had some economists yesterday saying, you know, don't get too cozy. It could be like in the Depression in 1937, we saw things kind of go back down again. So this is going to be the central figure to watch and whether people are getting jobs again and able to spend money.
Okay, Louise Story, New York Times finance reporter.
Well, they'll all have jobs on their mind as they return to Congress. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us. But they're also probably practicing their pronunciation of Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab, the suspect in that case in Detroit on Christmas Day. Is Congress going to be weighing in on all of these various terrorism issues that have emerged into the headlines, Todd, or is it just opportunism?
Oh, well, John, it's both. There are serious issues to discuss, certainly U.S. policy in Yemen, counterterrorism policy in general, the TSA, of course, transportation security, and also what to do with detainees that we're holding. And the fact is that Congress tends to be reactive on things like this, and they tend to go where they think the public wants them to go. After all, if 2010 is nothing else, Louise is right, it's an election year. So one of the big issues around Yemen is going to be what to do about closing Guantanamo Bay. It's certainly been controversial ever since the election when the president said he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, and the administration has gone ahead with plans to purchase this prison in Thompson, Illinois to put a lot of detainees.
And but 89 or 90 of the detainees in Guantanamo now are believed to be Yemenis.
Which is nearly half of detainees that are being held in Yemen. And we don't, you know, this will be determined on a case-by-case basis. We don't know how dangerous detainee A is versus detainee X. But returning any detainee who's been held for seven, you know, going on 8 years or whatever it is, sending them back to a country that is now the top-line headline of U.S. counterterrorism efforts is a difficult move politically. And even some Democrats are asking for that to be slowed down now.
President comes back from his Hawaii holiday later today. Will he be able to retain the initiative on this issue, do you think?
The landscape has definitely changed. The president will return to the White House at around lunchtime today. And again, he returns to a different national security landscape, at least in terms of the public's consumption of it. I think our experts, you know, John, at the top of the hour said, the U.S. has been on top of Yemen for a long time. Things haven't necessarily changed. But certainly the public's view of this, the president now has to deal with publicly. Can he take the initiative on Yemen? Can he take the initiative on the TSA and transportation security? Congress is already planning hearings on the security on the TSA side of things, and I think you're going to see some public hearings on the counterterrorism efforts in this country.
At the very
in
least, the president needs to project that he's managing all of those issues.
That's right.
From the administration perch. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
And now to sports with Nonno DeFino, sports writer for the Wall Street Journal. And this is obviously the college football bowl season, bowl mania, just in some cases. The game everyone watched this weekend was Texas Tech without their recently fired head coach, Mike Leach, against Michigan State in the Valero Alamo Bowl. So the Red Raiders showed they didn't necessarily need their head coach. They beat Michigan State 41-31. Here's interim head coach Ruffin McNeil.
It's probably the most challenging week of my life and the most satisfying night of my life, all in one.
He sounds tired. How big was this win?
It was very big for him personally, but also for Texas Tech. There were a lot of angry people in the stands who were just, there were signs saying we want our coach back. One of the things that actually got lost in the shuffle because of this whole Mike Leach thing is that Michigan State suspended, I think, 15, 20 players because of a brawl. So, I mean, they had a nice little handicap going in, I think, and, you know, they were set up to win the game, all controversy aside.
No Mr. Congenialities in this bowl, right?
No, well, you had to feel good for Ruffin. They liked him by the end.
Right, but they actually booed the young man who had accused Mike Leach of abusive behavior.
Drowned out the band at one point at halftime. He had to have two security guards on him.
Well, they take their football seriously in
Very
Texas.
Seriously.
What other bowl games happened this weekend?
There was a Liberty Bowl, which I think was kind of sad. It's the plight of the kicker. I mean, the poor East Carolina kicker missed three field goals at the end of the game, even won in overtime.
Scarred for life.
Yeah, and Arkansas won that game by three because their kicker made the field goal in overtime. Florida State won their bowl game, so Bobby Bowden, who was kind of forced out, he went out on as high note as possible for a guy who wanted to keep coaching and is a legend in his own mind. Those are the big ones. Navy and Air Force won their bowl games. That was nice.
Okay, well, we have more to come.
There's a trend here, though. Let's ask Nando about it. The Valero Alamo Bowl, that's two brands, okay? Tonight is the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, right? Maybe they should add a brand, the Tostitos Doritos Fiesta Bowl. Is it going to be like NASCAR? Is that where we're headed?
You know, they're making their money. I guess it's good for us somehow. We get a better product.
The GMAC Bowl comes up, right?
That's on Wednesday. That's
Nando DeFino, Wall Street Journal sports writer, and now advertising executive. Thanks so much.